Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Nerd Tween in a Movie Podcast. I am your host, Nerdpool Prime. Thank you again for joining me. If you're checking this out on YouTube or any other platform, please do me a favor and subscribe. Leave a comment, like, share, let everyone know. It goes a long way, but no more shameless plugs. Let's move right into the Nerd Tween news for the week. It has been announced that a Dragon Ball Super movie will be coming out in 2022. Toei Animation has officially confirmed that Dragon Ball Super will have a second movie coming out next year. The news was announced during a special Goku celebration in Japan. The project will feature the return of the series creator Akira Toriyama. He will craft an original story, character design, and the screenplay for the new film. Toei Animation confirmed that this film was initially discussed back in 2018 after the successful release of Dragon Ball Super Broly that same year. I absolutely love that new Broly movie. Granted, it's not it didn't hit all the notes that the original did, but it still was very, very good. This is something I'm going to be looking forward to and going to be searching for any new updates. At this time, all we know is that it'll come out next year. There is no title, no further real information besides that. So stay tuned for more updates. Thor: Love and Thunder news. The Emmy Award-winning cinematographer responsible for the smash hit The Mandalorian, Baz Iodine, I hope I said that right, announced on Friday that he is in fact the cinematographer for the Taika Waititi's second Marvel entry, Thor: Love and Thunder. Moving on, this is old news at this point, but Russell Crowe announced that he will be playing Zeus, which opens the door for the future appearances of characters like Ares and Hercules in the MCU, since he'll be playing that in Thor: Love and Thunder. It is interesting with the way things are developing. It appears that for whatever reason, Warner Brothers is moving on from Henry Cavill as Superman. And I'll talk more about that later, but I think he would be a very good fit for Hercules. Star Wars news. The Obi-Wan Kenobi speculation has begun after one of the actresses from the show posted a training video on Instagram. Moses Ingram posted a sick video of her on May the 4th, showing off some of her training for the upcoming Obi-Wan Kenobi series. I even reported it on my Nerdpool Reborn account on Instagram because I thought it was so cool. Now, the video has led to speculation about her role in the upcoming Obi-Wan Kenobi Disney Plus series. According to an article written by Kofi Outlaw on comicbook.com, her character could be the return of the Inquisitors. The Inquisitors had made their debut in Star Wars Rebels, the animated series. This would make a ton of sense for me because I feel like the Emperor would definitely want to take Kenobi off the board as soon as possible. He was, of course, before Luke and Leia's secret birth, the only person in the entire galaxy that may have been able to turn Anakin back to the light. Now, a few scoopers have postulated this. It's unconfirmed. Based off of the movements that she was doing, it could definitely have been that style of the Inquisitors with her being one of the sisters trying to hunt down Obi-Wan. That could definitely be something I could see happening. Moving on, this year will mark the 20th anniversary of the theatrical release of Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. Kevin Smith shared a post stating that the first draft of the film of the dynamic duo Jay and Silent Bob, they never actually went to Hollywood and they stayed in the entire film in New Jersey. Right now on jayandsilentbob.com, you can get a copy of what Smith calls a weird-ass script signed by both Jason Mewes, who of course played Jay, and Kevin Smith, who played Silent Bob and also wrote and directed. It is going for $40 on their website, and I will admit it's exceptionally hard not to grab one of those right off the jump. Smith is seriously a god to nerds like me. Some of my favorite movies are Smith titles such as Clerks, Dogma, Mallrats, and of course Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. The amount of legends that of the entertainment industry that showed up in that movie just really stuck with me when I was younger, and even more to this day. Moving on, Jeffrey Dean Morgan had some comments about him possibly playing Flashpoint Batman. The quote is, "Look, of my list has always been Batman. There's always been my favorite superheroes, and talking about Flashpoint has been very fun. I get asked a lot about it. I love the story of Flashpoint. Who knows? Who knows with DC? Who knows how these franchises work? I suppose I probably have 2 or 3 year window, and then I'm going to be too old. There's no way. Look, I'm available. Everyone knows I'm available. I say I'm available. I've been saying it for 5 years. We'll see what happens. There's so many superheroes. I like Lobo a lot. I have something maybe cooking, and I'll let you know soon if that turns out to be, but I love the world of comic books and hope that I get to stay playing in this world for a long time. Well, if there there is just so much to say about all of his comments right there. He's right. Who the hell knows what's going to happen with these executives and making all these decisions and changing everything as they see fit. They don't seem to want to continue the Snyderverse as the fans clearly want. But who knows what will happen with that. And I will talk more about that a little bit later as well. Morgan has been very clear that he wants to portray the amazing version of Batman. And with the Flash movie heavily rumored to be a Flashpoint movie, how do they not call him? I mean, the second I saw him in Batman vs. Superman, I thought it was perfect. It feels like they're trying to get rid of the Snyderverse. And since that appearance is in a Snyder movie, I say likely it's not going to happen, and that is probably one of the saddest things about the Snyderverse seemingly meeting its end as of right now. Speaking of DC, the next Superman will be black. And according to the reports, Warner Brothers wants a black director as well, which means J.J. Abrams will no longer be attached to the project. As of right now, that is just a rumor at this point. If they go with Calvin Ellis or Val Zod storyline, I'm all for it. I do, however, not agree with them changing Clark Kent's race. And before everyone freaks out and leaves hate comments, let me explain. Clark being black is not the problem. There is no reason he can't be black. But with the fact that they have Henry Cavill already as Superman, and he is adored by the fans, why recast the character with a race change? Especially when there are two amazing characters that were Superman in the comics. Val Zod was a Superman of Earth 2, and Calvin Ellis is a Superman of Earth 23, and was modeled after President Barack Obama. For me, there are only a few possible reasons for this move. It more than likely, in my opinion, is an overcorrection to make Warner executives not seem racist after their terrible treatment of Ray Fisher and for the entire cast of Justice League, for that matter, during the Whedon reshoots. And with Ray being written out of the Flash movie and from the rumors I've heard, may even be recast, the future of that's not even clear. And if it's not clear, hashtag I stand with Ray. The other possible reason could be because they really are trying to kill the Snyderverse for good. It feels almost like oh no, we can't make it. We no longer have them under contract. Sorry. Just watch the versions that we want you to, that we made, that we like. So, with that being said, if I was Marvel, I would be doing everything in my power to get Cavill and Fisher in the MCU locked in for a long time. Lock down Cavill as Hercules, or in my opinion, even better, Captain Britain, and get Fisher for any number of roles. He could be Blue Marvel, Cloak, Bishop. Hell, why not even make a flashback movie and have him play a young Isaiah Bradley? I see any of those working out amazingly. The only threat to the MCU, in my opinion, is if Warner Brothers decides to have multiple universes going at once. They have already actually made the multiverse a 100% canon thing in their entertainment section, with Ezra Miller showing up in the Grant Gustin Flash TV show during the Crisis on Infinite Earths on the CW Universe events. Along with many other things showing up in those events, like the Titans and a few other, like the original Batman and things of that nature. So why not have the Matt Reeves, the Batman, the Joker, or any of those other more grounded titles in separate universes combined together? Maybe not. Doesn't even matter. The CW shows could have their own universe, the Warner Brothers universe, whatever they're planning, and then the Snyderverse. And seriously, think about it. What they'd be able to pull off if they would just do all of them. They'd be able to have multiple full-time franchises running independently, and then they'd have the option for a future crossover event. Please, all right, sit there for a second. Close your eyes and just think about this. How happy would you be in the theater if there was a scene with Michael Keaton playing an old Batman in a Batman Beyond-style future timeline, speaking with multiple versions of himself, i.e. the Pattinson and Batfleck, or whoever else they have as Batman at the time? It would literally break all the records from any Marvel or whatever the Avatar franchise. It would literally, like, just absolutely destroy all other competition. So why not do it? Why? Because you've decided that you want to go a different direction? Fine. But you have already established that you can have multiple universes. So why not say, we're done with the Snyderverse for now. We may come back to it. Make a couple movies in your universe. Give Zack Snyder some more money. And let him make the rest of his trilogy. Why not? You can't compete with the MCU's sustainability over the long haul. And you've shown that already. Now, the Suicide Squad more than likely is going to be fantastic with James Gunn at the helm. So, yeah, that could help. Wonder Woman 1 was amazing. The second one, there's some issues with it. Obviously, Superman was I have been open and said this numerous times. I'm not a fan of Superman. I don't like characters who are so powerful that they can pretty much do whatever they want. I'm more of a grounded, like a Batman, like mortal characters, rather than the god types, like even Thor. I will admit I have gotten into Thor more recently with the Donny Cates run. And of course, because of the way the MCU is shaping up, I want to, you know, have some understanding with that, you know, the gore run, from, Arnold, I think is the author. Don't quote me on that. I'm a little off script right now, just to be honest. But they could definitely do so much because they have certain parts of these movies that were fantastic. Aquaman for a lot of that movie was absolutely stunning. It was a beautiful movie to watch. Then you had, like I said, Wonder Woman was good. Suicide Squad was a little bit of a misstep because they adjusted their view, Ayer's view of the movie, which is the same thing that's going on right now with the Snyderverse. And, you know, call me crazy, but if I was a studio exec and someone said, let me get $500 million and I'll turn that into $5 billion or even a billion. Are you kidding me? How do you not make that play? And that's while you're still making money on the titles that you want to create. There's just no downside except for basically giving the fans what they want. So, you know, that's on you, Warner Brothers. But be careful, because if you don't fix this soon, you might lose some of your actors to Marvel. Just saying. We're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back and talk about some comics that I'm really enjoying right now. Stay tuned. Welcome back. So, this has been an absolutely incredible year for comics. And to be honest, really, independent comics are really the true standouts right now. There are great comics out for Marvel and DC, as always, but the independents have come out of nowhere. I mean, for a lot of people, don't get me wrong, Image has been killing it for many years with Spawn and a lot of great titles. But now, right now, in my opinion, it's the almost like the golden age of sorts for independent comics with Image, Boom, IDW, Valiant, Sourcepoint Press. There are so many really, really good independent companies out there right now. So I wanted to highlight some of those, as well as Marvel and DC, but I wanted to highlight a whole bunch of comics that I'm reading right now. I do Nerdtween comic reviews on my Instagram page, Nerdpool Reborn, as well as Marvel 2K21 if it's a Marvel book. But I wanted to highlight some here, too. I feel like I can tell more of my true feelings in this audio format than I may be able to on my graphics that I make. So we're going to start with Marvel, and my favorite one of their comics right now is the Star Wars High Republic. It's written by Kevin Scott, penciled by Ario Anindito. Inker, of course, is Mark Morales, the letterer, Ariana Mayer, colorist, Annalisa Leone. And then, of course, the first issue had a cover by the very talented Phil Noto, the cover A. It has been an absolutely phenomenal ride so far. I never really knew how much I wanted horror style story in that was set in the Star Wars universe until this book. Kevin Scott's writing a really, I don't want to say dark, because there are dark aspects and there are like real crazy stuff that happens, but It's more horror. The first couple issues had like a feel of almost like an alien movie, where it was like scary emptiness, and then you're wondering when the monster's gonna come out type thing. And then moving forward, it was almost like a Invasion of the Body Snatchers or something like that. And it's been really interesting so far. And like I said, the writing is just fantastic by Kevin Scott, but the art by Ario and the Mark Morales and even down like, and most people don't talk about letterers because, you know, they don't really think about things like that in comics, like the casual comic fan. But in this comic especially, it highlighted like there was very different ranges to the way the letters were done. And there were so many different people talking and inner monologues that the different colors and type of font that was chosen for individual parts were really expressive, more so than in a lot of comics that I see nowadays. Beta Ray Bill is a new one that just came out from Marvel as well. Daniel Warren Johnson is the writer, the penciler, the inker, and also contributed with the lettering. Mike Spicer and Joe Sabino contributed with coloring and lettering, respectively. It was a really great story that had a little bit of a origin backstory, like sprinkled in on top of the spinoff from The King in Black. It gave you a lot of backstory, like I said, on what makes Beta Ray tick that I didn't know, and I like the character, but I've never really dove into who he was and what he's had to go through. So this book really was nice to give me that kind of backstory to understand the character better. Like I said, it's a spinoff of the King in Black event with a nullified Fing Fang Foom attacking Asgard. This book was surprisingly deep and it was real. It had a lot of human elements to it that I was surprised to see coming from this character. And it makes me want to dive deep into Beta Ray, as well as Johnson. I mean, the fact that he was able to draw right, I mean, he pretty much made this entire comic with the help of a couple people. Many, like, you heard how many names I listed off for the Star Wars comic. I had three for this one, which puts it on a different level. There's not many artists and writers who could do things like that, and it's very impressive. And I was really enjoying that story, and I'm looking forward to seeing where that goes. And you know, there's also the great, I talked about this in a couple episodes before, the Demon Days, the Momoko, both written and drawn. There's another artist and writer who could really do it all. And that's another great one. And there's a whole bunch of other Marvel content that could be read. I'm gonna be honest with you, I'm behind a lot of Marvel stuff because the indies and like the DC have been so good. Like the Star Wars one, I'm all in on the Star Wars because I'm a huge Star Wars fan. So you're gonna give me a Star Wars comic book, especially one that's that good? Yeah, I'm in. Moving on to DC. My favorite comic from DC right now is definitely The Joker. Writer James Tynion, I hope I said that right, IV, and art from Mirka Andolfo. Mayer also worked on the lettering on this book as well, which is another one that was really expressive, depending on who was talking. This comic, I absolutely adore it. So both The High Republic and... The Joker, I have it on pre-order on my pull list with Duffy Boy Comics on Instagram. Check him out. He's an amazing guy and he does great stuff, great bundles and everything. Chances to win incentives. It's great. Check him out. Duffy Boys Comics on Instagram. But I was at a comic book store the week that it released, and I saw both those issues, and I picked them up again. I had to read them before my pre-order came in. But this, the Joker book, most of it is talked, like the most of the panels are a retired Commissioner Gordon being tormented with visions of the Joker as he's going on a mission to try and track him down and kill the Clown Prince of Crime. The mission... was given to him, and like I said, he at the, you know, so far only issue two, he is debating on whether or not he's going to follow through with that and not just bring him in. The artwork is just absolutely stunning. And I really liked the way that he's playing it very close to chest. There was a couple big reveals, as well as a first appearance of a new villain, Bane's daughter, Vengeance. So that's another really, really good title, to be reading there. Pardon me while I take a sip of my beverage. And, I mean, there's a lot of great books, but that's the standout one. I'm really behind on the DC. I am working my way, through into a lot of the new stuff. The only other stuff that I've read is the Batman run right now, but that's not a new comic. It's just a new run. So I didn't feel like adding that into this conversation here, but that Batman run is absolutely phenomenal as well. So, and there's a lot of first appearances and stuff going on in that. But I've read, you know, the Robin Eternal Future State. I absolutely loved that. Nightwing Future State was really good too. I haven't got a chance to get around to the current Nightwing run, which I've heard is absolutely amazing as well. So there's a lot of stuff going on in DC that I'm a little behind on, but that Joker one, oh man, it's absolutely phenomenal. Moving on to Image Comics, they've got a couple really, really good new independents. Radiant Black, which is my absolute favorite comic right now. It's written by Kyle Higgins and the art by Marcelo Costa. It's really one of my favorite comics I've read almost ever, probably, to be honest with you. It follows a failed writer who moved back in with his parents and being super in debt, and everyone thinks that, you know, he's close to finishing his book and everything like that, and he's not, and then he ends up getting superpowers. Like, I honestly feel like this book was written specifically for people like me. I saw a few stories where it's, like, the most millennial book of all time, and it very well might be. I'm in what's considered an elder millennial. So, you know, I'll definitely take that. But it's just absolutely phenomenal. It's It is the one book that I get, like, the second it comes in, I read it. Like, most of my other stuff, I either just put in a box and, you know, put it away, and I'll get to it eventually. But Radiant Black, the second that box opens, I put everything away, and Radiant Black stays out, and I read it right then. Because it's just absolutely phenomenal. Then you got Nocterra, which is written by Scott Snyder, with the art from Tomeo Morey and Tony S. Daniels. This is another fantastic must-have comic. The world building in this series so far has been so well done, and it's not overbearing. Like, they work in the world building within all of the action, and it's truly phenomenal. And the visuals, they pull you in from the very first panel. They never let go. This is another one that I'm sure, along with Radiant Black, and I definitely see those both probably being optioned at some point. But Nocterra, for me, it just screams horror movies or a horror series. And I definitely think that would knock it out the park if that gets optioned. Moving on to Boom Studios, of course, you got the Berserker comic written and created by Keanu Reeves and Matt Kent. The art done by the legendary Ron Garney. This has already been optioned by Netflix for a movie starring Keanu Reeves, as well as an anime spinoff with Reeves as the voice actor and as well as a producer. When I read the first comic, I literally could hear Reeves doing the voiceover, these gruesome panels, and like I just saw it being done like in my review I said it read like a movie. And the second I read that first issue, I knew it was going to get picked up. It was only about a month later, maybe, because I think the second one hadn't even come out yet, because the second one just came out recently. But like the third, fourth, and what, fifth print, I think, already for the first one. But like, yeah, I was really impressed with it. And, you know, Reeves actually created this character with Kent, and I I'm still waiting to read the second issue. I have it, and I'm just sitting there just like, ooh, I'm holding off on it because I heard it's so good. So I probably end up reading comics as much as I can tomorrow while I prepare for the show later today. Well, when I'm recording this, it's depending on your lifestyle choices, either really late or really early. Moving on, Proctor Valley Road was another really good one. I've only read the first issue so far, but it's fantastic. The writers are Grant Morrison and Alex Child. They've created a really creepy period piece set in the 70s. It gives gives off this like Scooby-Doo for adults vibe for me. Like I said, I'm still behind. I'm only on the first issue, but I absolutely love the art by Naomi Franquez. I hope I said that right. It sounds like... I have to read some comics, like I said, tomorrow. And here we got a shameless plug right here. We got Samurai Sundays coming today on Hard to Come By's YouTube. Go check him out. Hard to Come By, and that's by BUY on Instagram. He's got the links in his bio, and check it out. We're gonna have some sick books, keys, hot titles, giveaways, great conversation. You're not gonna want to miss it. But I digress. Moving on to IDW. Of course, they have the Star Wars High Republic adventures. And, you know, for me, I feel like this book is being slept on by a lot of people. I feel like some people saw Disney on the cover and just automatically assume it's a kid's book. And if it was meant to be, I don't see it like that at all. I truly love it. Daniel Jose Older is writing a fantastic story which really shows how easily it is to steer kids in a direction, one way or the other. Two kids from the same background, they have two vastly different mentors guiding them down two completely separate paths. The art from Harvey Talibo, I'm probably butchering that at this point. I apologize. It's just absolutely stunning. Excuse me. And I have to admit, I had him all scheduled to come on the podcast about a month ago, but you know, he lives on the other side of the world, so due to timing and scheduling conflicts, we weren't able to make it work. So hopefully, down the road, I can get him back lined up in order to get his perspective on how it was making the Star Wars Adventures comics. Then there's another one from Valiant Comics. It's called Savage. Writer Mark Bemis and artist Nathan Stockman are telling a really compelling story. It's, for me, it's basically present-day Mowgli, but with dinosaurs in England. so it has a really great story, two issues in, and the character of Savage has the making of, like, a true hero of, like, epic proportions. And, like, he's following the hero's guide, like, to a T, all the way up to, you know, the call to action being being ignored because he didn't feel like he should. He wants to go live on his own. Those are the main comics I wanted to spotlight. Now, like I said, these aren't the only books that I'm currently reading. Like I said earlier, the Batman run from Tynion is absolutely amazing. The American Chavez Aliens, the crossover by Donny Cates, the Wolverine and Carnage, Black, White, and Blood, Children of the Atom. They're all fantastic comics. And like I said, you got the DC, the Future State. I didn't read a lot of it yet. I have it. I'm going to end up trying to read most of it. But this has been a really awesome year for comics and independent titles. But there was some sad news recently. Artist John Paul Leone passed away after about a decade-long battle with cancer. He's a legendary artist. One of his last covers is going to be the Berserker number 2, 1 in 25 variant. Apparently there's a couple DC ones coming up as well, but it's truly sad to lose a talent like that. So I wanted to just take a moment and just appreciate the artists and the talents that we have right now, because we don't know how long they're going to be here. We don't know if they're going to stop tomorrow or if they're not going to live up to what are great expectations. And, you know, there's even more great independent comics coming, like with Eve that just came out, what was it, 2 days ago at this point. Haven't read it yet, but I've been talking about it for months since the initial press release about it. Then you got Spawn's Universe is right around the corner. So it's only starting to heat up right now. And I'm really happy with so many comics right now. To be honest, the only one that I didn't really, that I've read that I just didn't get into was The Magic number 1. I wasn't a big Magic the Gathering card player, so the name, like, it kind of just seems cheesy to me, because it's, I mean, that's how it's supposed to be. Those are the names from the cards, I'm sure. So if I was into that, I'm sure I would have, like, really, really loved it. But the art was fantastic. So, I mean, I only read the first about 5 or 6 pages, so I'm going to go back and probably try to read that again and see if I might like it a second time around. But yeah, like I said, just support your local comic book store or your online comic book store, whether it's Duffy Boys Comics, or any of the Instagram people that I've associated with and I mentioned before on the podcast, Hard to Come By, Wild Unboxing Comics, Momo Comics, MF Stuntman, And I know I'm missing people, Sinister Comics, Blackbird Comics. Like I said, I'm sure I'm missing people. Bravo Collectibles. Bravo Collections. I'll have it tagged correctly. I'm not going to lie to you. It's 4:13 a.m. where I am right now as I'm recording this for you guys. excuse me. So just support everyone you can. There's a lot of great people on the Instagram community and the YouTube community in the nerd world right now. And I just want to support as many as I can with the little platform that I have. And hopefully moving forward, the platform gets bigger and these shout outs in retrospect, help them out. I don't know. So that's going to be a wrap for this week. I initially was supposed to have Wild Comics Unboxing come on, but he just celebrated his 2,000th subscriber. No, sorry, 1,000 subscriber YouTube. So that was more important than doing our interview. And I'm glad he's able to celebrate that. And I hope to meet him there someday. I'm still trying to hit 50, to be honest with you. YouTube came late in the podcast. I was already probably 8 or 9 episodes in before I even started to even turn the podcast on to YouTube. So, it's been a slow battle trying to get that up. So moving forward, I will have, I know I didn't talk about The Bad Batch. I absolutely loved it. I personally took off, May the 4th, like months ago, just to make sure that I could truly enjoy Star Wars Day. And it was great. I post a lot of great content. I watch Star Wars all day in my weird order. So I'm moving forward. While we have some time in between now and Loki, I'm going to do a, not necessarily a breakdown, but a kind of review of the first season of Invincible, because I haven't talked about it much on the show, but I absolutely, absolutely loved it. I got behind early, watched 4 in a row, and then waited till the season was done before I picked it back up again. And then, like I said, we'll all start doing some breakdowns of The Bad Batch, and then, of course, Loki when it comes out. Working on getting a lot of great content for you guys moving forward. Interviews getting set up with some big name people. I don't know, maybe an actress who was in Endgame and will be in Black Panther Wakanda Forever. No big deal. But thank you very much for taking the time out and listening to my podcast today. And I hope you enjoy the content. If you did, please like, subscribe, do all of that, you know, crazy social media stuff. Share it on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I don't know, wherever you share your stuff, because it really helps me a lot, and it'll just help me get even more content and even better content coming your way. But until next time, like I said, come and check us out, Samurai Sundays. Going to be doing that in just a few hours, like I said, because I'm recording this early in the morning or late at night. So thank you again for joining me, and have a great rest of your day. And until next time, this is Nerdpool Prime signing off.